This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, asking you for the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives to guide us into your truths, Lord, that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit, that you might be exalted, Lord, here this morning and in our lives, that the world might see your witness in us. And that you would be glorified and our lives and our families blessed. Meet each need here this morning. Speak to us, Lord, and we'll give you the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the title of the message is simply A Father's Day Gift. A Father's Day Gift. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a time, I think everybody here probably has had a time where they wanted to get their dad a gift. And you wanted to use your own money. You didn't want anybody to give you any money. You wanted to use your own money because it was something special from you. I can tell you, I had my son spearhead a gift for Father's Day some years ago, and he was proud of it, and so was I. Amen? I enjoyed it. It was a percolator coffee pot, and so really enjoyed that. But I remember being 10 or 12 years old. That would be 1972 or 1974. And I saved up about $15 to go to this pottery place, and make a little statue about that tall, about that wide of the thinker. You know, the guy sitting down thinking. And you know, I had to carve off all the seams and paint it, and they fired it and killed, dried it, whatever they do there. $15 may not sound like a lot, but did you realize, I had to look this up, in 1972, the minimum wage was $1.60.
$1.60. In 74, it was $2. Amen. So that was not a small chunk of change for me anyway, by the way, who just got paid here and there for doing this, that, and the other. But I was happy about giving my father a gift. Amen. And I think you probably experienced that as well. And I will tell you, there is no greater opportunity today than today to give God a special gift. He's our Heavenly Father. And may I remind you, our Heavenly Father sent His Son Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior, to restore our relationship with Him. Is that not why He came? There's no better gift to give our Heavenly Father on Father's Day than the relationship that He desires and paid for that you and I might have with Him. Amen? So I want you to think about that, because there is no better gift. And with that thought, I want to look at the day of salvation. This is the first thought. Second thought is the believer's salvation explained. The believer's salvation explained. Did you know that a believer has salvation and a deliverance? When you got saved, you were delivered from eternal damnation to eternal life. God has a salvation for the believer. As you look through the scriptures, you'll see that the Lord is speaking to believers about salvation. Eternal life is one thing. That's a once and forever and always event that takes place in the life of a believer. But there's a deliverance and a salvation that God wants to give to every child of God. And then a compelling cry from a spiritual father, and then the command and call from our Heavenly Father. So with that said, I want to look at verses 1 and 2, and I want you to see something here. Look at verse 1. It says, "We then as workers together." Now he's speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's including everybody together. If you're not familiar with this, you can back up to chapter 5, and you can see here that God has given the believer in chapter 5, verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation. That's what you and I, so you and I are workers together or ministers, and here's the good thing, God does not want us to serve Him in our strength. God has given to us the Holy Spirit that we might do it successfully in His strength. We will never do it successfully or acceptably in our own strength. So listen to this. "We then as workers together with Him beseech you," or plead with you, "also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Does that make sense? Do you follow what he's saying there? God has given to us something that we might overcome what? The world in which we're in. Now listen, we can be assimilated into the world, but that's not what God wants. God wants us to be a light in the world. Is that true? He says we're to be the salt of the earth, we're to be the light of the world. That's not through our light, that's through God's light. Are you ready this morning to receive a revelation, an important truth that will transform our understanding and our relationship with the Lord, and also understand and see the working power of God in our own personal lives? If we're not careful, we'll just glaze over here and say, this is just another message. Oh, no, listen, there's an important truth here that I'm convinced that is lacking in the church today. Why would you say, Brother George, that that's lacking? Well, look at our society and tell me what kind of an influence is the church having today on the world? Do you remember when God started the church and empowered it on the day of Pentecost, the testimony was that the world was turned upside down by the doctrine of the disciples. Today, I'm afraid to say that the world has flipped the church upside down and shaking everything out of it to where it's almost basically powerless. But that does not have to be the case if we understand how God operates in the life of the believer, you and I, this morning. So I want you to see this. Look at verse 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted and in the day of salvation." Now remember, he's talking about we're workers together with him. He's talking to the church, and he's talking about an accepted time, a day of salvation here in verse 2. And then notice he says, "In a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." He's talking to believers. If the church ever needed the salvation of God, wouldn't you say it would be now? If we were ever to see anything? Let me help you understand something here. There is the devil, Satan, Lucifer, is the prince and power of the air. He's over the world, is he not? The Lord told us that we are in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. Now listen, follow this thinking. Listen, if we're not careful, we are functioning and operating in the world and missing what God is talking about being delivered from the world. So when we think about that, the world has a philosophy. Let me tell you something about the world. The world likes the fruit of the Spirit. It hates our Savior, but it loves the fruit of the Spirit as long as it doesn't know where it's coming from. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, kindness, doesn't the world love that? But tell them that it's coming from God and they will despise you. In fact, they will hate you because they hated our Savior. All right. So keep that thought in mind. You and I, if we're not careful, if we don't allow God to do his transforming work, we will operate and think like the world does, and we'll be in the world and we'll be of the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. We're not supposed to have its kind of thinking. Listen, everything that is in existence is of the world, but the question is whether or not God is using that for his glory, or is it the world? So, for example, should the believer be worried about the stock market? Is that where your joy comes from? Is that where your peace comes from? No. Did Jesus not say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven," and all the things that the lost people are worried about, God says, "I'll supply." So is your life wrapped up in the stock market, or is it wrapped up in the hands of God? Is he the one that bestows everything that we need? So here's how we can be of the world. Ready? All of a sudden, you have X amount of dollars saved up, and you hear on the news, "Oh my goodness, we're going to have another shortage." And gold. You've been hearing that. How many years you've been here? Gold. Invest in gold. So if we're not careful, we become with the spirit of the world. We start investing in gold because we heard the world say we should invest in gold instead of saying, "God, what should I do with the money that you've given to me to be a steward over?" See? There's nothing wrong with having money, but if we seek money because the same way the world seeks money, then that's of the world. And we lose the spirit of Christ. "God, why have you given me? Why have you created me to be just like I am? What is your purpose in my life?" That's what it means. Listen, we need to seek the wisdom of God. We need to seek the guidance of the Spirit of God in our everyday life that we might not be part of the world. It is possible, and I'm sorry to say, quite probable, that the church today is functioning like the world is functioning. When you look at today's churches, do they look more like Christ or more like the world? Just in appearance. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It's not about appearances. It's not because we can manufacture a certain appearance, good or negative. We could manufacture a certain appearance. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God guiding our life and filling us with his joy to where we are led by the Spirit of God to do the will of God and to enjoy it. Amen? To where the world says, "What makes you so happy?" That, you know, there are some people that have this philosophy. You and I are not intelligent unless we live in some big major metropolis. You can keep it. Listen, I don't have a problem with anybody living in a big city. But I'll tell you what, I'll take the country any day. Now, here's what they think. We're not smart for doing that. Now, I don't say anything, but I sure do enjoy the country. Amen? If you enjoy living right next to somebody and somebody right on top of you and somebody right beneath you, have at it. But they think this is the thinking of the world, see? Now, let me tell you what the influence of the world, how it starts. Let me show you how things can change. You may know this. Princeton, Yale, and Harvard, and several other Ivy League universities, their founders, when they started them, did you know that they were started to be seminary schools to prepare men to preach the gospel and to be sent forth. Did you know that? Now, education, listen, education is of the world. But if it's spirit-led, it will glorify the Lord. Listen, money, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. Is the Bible a liar? Is the word of God a lie? No. So is money the root of all evil? The love of money, the root of all evil. Let me just say that, the love of money. Okay. So how does that become a tool for God? We call upon him. We say, "Oh God, this is the money that you've entrusted to me. Guide me that I might spend it your way." Do you know that you even trying to do a good thing can use money without the Spirit of God to do a good thing and it not honor and glorify the Lord? Because we've done it without God. But if we do it with the Lord, it glorifies him and we'll have that assurance. We won't wonder, well, I think it's a good thing. And the world says it's a good thing. The world thinks it's a good thing. What does God think about it? You remember Judas. Why was this waste made upon the Lord when the ointment was poured over him? This could have been sold and provision made for the poor. Oh, the world will say, well, that's a noble thing to do. Oh, but Jesus said, against my burial has she done this. Do you think that's ever been forgotten? Throughout all eternity, that will be remembered. What was done because of the love she had for her Savior and the expense that was made. And God did not rebuke her. He rebuked Judas. The poor you have always with you. Me, you don't have always with you. She was doing the right thing. Now, Princeton, Yale, and Harvard started the right way because the founder had a heart and was led by the Lord to do these things. Now, here's what happened. Ready? Without the Holy Spirit, everything reverts back to the spirit of this world. And so what happened was another man came on the scene and maybe he was less influenced by the Holy Spirit. They were still doing a good thing for probably many years after the death of the founder. But see, the founder had was seeking God in such a way that the influence was strong. But then what happened was, as that influence was lost, you would recognize today Princeton, Yale, and Harvard as being a seminary school that was promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Why? Because it reverted back to the world. See, it's like this momentum. If we stop working against the flow, the current of the world will take it back. Everything without Christ will revert back and become worldly and not glorify the Lord. So it is important that we understand what God is saying here, or we will completely miss what the Lord is talking about concerning your salvation and my salvation. Not eternal life, but the saving of our life. In other words, that our life might be profitable unto the Lord, and that we would not get caught up with the thinking of the world and being moved by the world and doing the things of the world that put self at the very center. See, the devil was concerned about us not following him. So you know what he said? You be God. That's what he said to Eve, didn't he? You'll be a God. You don't have to. And she lost everything. And Adam did too. All right. So watch this. And remember that everything that is not led by the Holy Spirit will always revert back to the fallen world system. So in this, we pick up with verse 3. And I just want you to see the believer's salvation explained and understand that this is and can only be the work of God through the Holy Spirit. We're not going to read all the verses, but I just want you to see a couple of them. You can go back and look at them. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 2. He says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." What is he talking about? This is it. Ready? "Give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Walk in the Holy Spirit, not in the way of the world." Verse 4, "but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God." Now remember, this is the we working together, the church, the believers. Verse 4 again, "but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in every predicament and situation in life, that we would not be influenced by the world, but that we would be moved and directed and led by the Holy Spirit that gives us His peace, that energizes us, that gives us His joy, even when our world is flipped upside down. Did Paul suffer any kind of need or physical harm? And yet when you read his letters, don't you pick up that he was happy in Jesus? Do you know that Paul said, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. I want you to have the same thing I had. You know why? Because that's the light of God. Because that's the salt of the earth. Not just on Sunday morning. God, listen, God is wanting us to be empowered by his grace and his mercy. And why? Again, listen, if you've not understood it before, that our joy might be his. And that he might have it filled up to the top for you and I and for our families and overflowing to our families and to the world. So I want you to see, you can go back through that, but I want you to see and understand that this is a great need today that God wants the believer to understand. Hold your place right here, and I want you to see something here. Go back to the Gospel of John just for a moment, 17, and I want you to see some things that Jesus said. Ready? Concerning the world and concerning our relationship with him. The world system is under the leadership and always will be under Satan because it's a fallen world. But we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of it. God has planned you and I to stand out by his grace to the world. Not in our own strength. We'll never stand out. We can have the best of intentions. We'll never be what God wants us to be in our own strength. It will be his or it just won't happen. Look at verse 6, 17:6 in the Gospel of John. Here's what it says. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and notice, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, let me ask you a question here. Listen to what he says. They've kept thy word. He's saying that about Peter. Now, remember Peter? We just spoke about that this morning. When the Lord began to tell, remember the Lord said, who do men say that I am? And he said, thou art the Son of God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then all of a sudden the Lord begins to tell him how he's going to suffer. And he says, oh Lord, that shall never be to thee, unto thee, right? And the Lord looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because what was he doing? Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but of men. That's the world. Now, I want you to see what God was seeing here. God was seeing the potential because of the Holy Spirit in Peter that he has the potential to overcome. So that's why he says right here that they have kept thy word at the bottom of verse 6. You and I also have the potential because of the mercy and grace of God in you to keep the word of God, not in our strength, but in his. If we'll understand the battle of the world system that it's trying to do or to bring into the life of the believer. Listen, Satan has lost us out of his kingdom. He definitely does not want us to be the light of God to bring others out. But God does. So this is the gift that God would have from you and I. Oh, listen, if you were to say, oh, Heavenly Father, what could I ever give you as my Heavenly Father on Father's Day? And every day for the Lord is Father's Day. Because he gave us his son. Do you know what God would say? Oh, that the life of my son would live through you and be glorified in you. All right, so watch this. This is how it happens. Verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Did you see that? Listen to the example. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Everything that you've given to me, they know it's coming from who? God. Did you see that? Let me ask you a question. How about you this morning? Everything that's been given to you, not the sin, not the failure, but everything good from God has been given to you from who? Amen? Here's the question. Are you receiving it and experiencing it and allowing God to display it because it's needed? All right. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And know surely that I came out from thee. And notice, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, that's the world system, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified, where? In them. I am glorified in them. But we can't be filled up with the world. And if you're failing God, it's because the world needs to be rooted out. And you can't do it, and I can't do it. It's got to be a work of God. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Did you see how we're kept? That they may be one as we are, of the same mind. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Does God want joy in our lives? Isn't that what the verse just said right there? So here's the question. Is the joy of God being fulfilled in your life? If not, know this. It is the will of God. And if it's not taking place... And by the way, where was the Lord getting ready to go in this portion of Scripture? He was getting ready to face eternal separation, right? From our condemnation is what he was getting ready to face. He'd never experienced that before. He was getting ready to be separated from the Father like never before, when all of our sins would be placed upon him. And he's saying, I want you to have what I have. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. So you see the importance of the word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's us. I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, because we need to be the light and the salt, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, the world system. Remember, listen. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. How evil? Do you want to know why we're so sick today? You all know this. Look at the gazillion ingredients in all the food you find today. What are those? Preservatives. Why? That it might last longer on the shelf for the love of money. And we are getting sicker every day. It's the love of money. Ready? Today only. Special sale. Today only. Let's go spend money to save money. That's a real good one. How much stuff do we buy that we don't need? Really need? I'm not saying that stuff is wrong, but what's moving us to buy that stuff? I hope it's not to keep up with the neighbors. I hope we realize that our greatest prized possession is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. So, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Notice this, verse 17, sanctify, set them apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What we're getting this morning. Here's the question, are you believing this? Understand the battle is the world system that plays heavily and weighs heavily. Don't listen, the news, the media, All these people that advertise, and I'm not saying advertisement is wrong. And I'm not saying, and God is not saying, that purchasing things is wrong. And that living and investing in this world is wrong. But call upon the Lord to guide you in it. God, guide me. Is this what you want me to have? It is so good when God says, yes, green light, go. Great. And watch what God will do with what we have given to him because of all that he's given to us. So listen, what God is saying is don't be influenced and moved by the old world system. We've been delivered from that. Be moved by the Lord. Does God not want us to have every good thing and things that would move us closer to the Lord? It's not that God doesn't want us to invest in this lifetime. That's not what he's saying. Just don't be governed or moved by what the world is moved by. I don't care on what side of the aisle. Tell me this isn't true. Does the news really matter anymore? Has it really changed? On one side, you hear people say, well, these people are criminals. These people are criminals for years, and nothing's being done. You can watch next month and see the same garbage news that's telling you nothing but the same thing you've been hearing for years. It'd do us a great service to let it go and look to the good news, the Word of God. It would bring liberation and freedom. And less apt to be lured by the commercials in the in between. All right. So notice this. He says in verse 18, very quickly, he says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." But we're not supposed to be of it. "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's us. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." Why? The last part of verse 21, "that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." But if we're caught up with the world and are moving like the world, they'll never see that. Are you saved? Yeah, we're not talking about salvation. If you've trusted the Lord as your Savior, yeah, that's one thing. But is the life of Christ living through us? That's what turns the lives upside down. For people to see, man, I'm missing something. But if we're being moved like the world is, they don't see it because there's no difference. Back to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll finish up with these last two thoughts. And I want you to see a compelling cry from a spiritual father in verse 13. This is Paul. 2 Corinthians 6, 13 reads this way. It says, "Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak unto my children, be ye also enlarged." So he's talking to his spiritual children. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Don't get caught up in that. Because he says, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" He's not saying be unkind or shun them or ignore them. He says, just don't yoke up with them. "And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" And notice this. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Is God walking in us? Is that what it says? God, listen, if God is walking in us and things are taking place for his honor and glory, who's doing them but the God that's walking in us? So that's the question this morning. Is God walking or are we walking? And I'll tell you, as we look today in society, I don't see a lot of God walking in his people today. Because there's not a lot of light. And the last thought, the command and call from our Heavenly Father in verse 17. He says, because of that, because God wants to walk in us, because God wants to glorify himself in your life and mine and bless us. Verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them." It's a choice. God, I need you to help me come out from among them. In fact, God, I need you to do it. Take me out. Keep me in the world for your honor and glory, but that I might not be caught up in the world. "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." The unclean thing is the world without the Spirit of God. The unclean world will get you to say, "Oh Lord, no, don't go to the cross. And we'll savor not the things that be of God. Don't suffer, Lord." Verse 18, and he says, "I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You know what that is? That's just not a command and a call from our Heavenly Father, but it's an invitation to experience him. So this morning, there's a Father's Day gift that we can give to our Heavenly Father. If we'll ask him, "God, have your will and your way in me. Give me a heart of surrender that I might be a son or a daughter after my God's own heart." Amen? Would you stand, please, as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the truths that you reveal. I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to not just hear them, Lord, but to receive them, that you might perform the work that you've created us for, that you might have your will and your way in our lives. Whatever the need might be this morning, I pray that you would speak to hearts. May we call upon you, Lord, that we might experience you in a better way, in a greater way than ever before, that we might experience your joy, your mercy, and that truly the world might see there's a difference that you make. Bless the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.